Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola. Welcome to the 21st day of January. It's an interesting day today. And of course our theme is from Hector Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, The March to the Scaffold, and all of that. In fact, on today, Louis XVI was guillotined. So I don't know if Berlioz had that in mind, although it was about a jilted love life woman he was infatuated with. Excuse me, but it also may mean today that he may be applicable to what appears to be, and we may not be premature in saying this, the death of the current proposed Obamacare, Reid care, Pelosi care, whatever you want to call it. And hopefully they'll go back to the drawing boards and come up with something that works for everybody and is fair, equitable, and is not going to bankrupt the nation and destroy the nation. Today is either today or tomorrow. I guess it depends on how you look at the time zones in the world. Daniel Pearl, in 2002, was brutally murdered, beheaded by a guy named, I can't even pronounce his name, Islamic terrorist in Pakistan. And he made some videos which are on the web. They're very graphic, but you can look up Daniel Pearl. And you got to take these people seriously because they're going around beheading people. They've done it to Russians. They've done it to other people whom they consider an enemy or who are in their way or who they want to terrorize. Anyway, Daniel Pearl, I briefly met him when we both wrote for the San Francisco Business Times back in the 80s, late 80s. Then he went on to, I think, the Wall Street Journal. Then he went to Pakistan. And the reason, this doesn't come out much, there's been very little discussion on this, that he was Jewish and he was proud of his cultural heritage, but he wasn't one of these up-in-your-face type, Heyroot, that type extremists. And there are extremists who are, you might want to call them cultural Jews or Zionists, but there are extremists in every group. There are extremists, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and of course the Islamists. But anyway, he was investigating suspected money laundering by Al-Qaeda, and that may have precipitated his brutal death. Of course, getting your throat cut and then beheading. Have you seen some of these videos? They're very graphic, but we better get used to these events because these people have done this throughout the history, that the extreme Islamists are very violent people, a very violent sect, and we better realize that what we're dealing with. Excuse me. So I would recommend that you go to the web and look up Daniel Pearl, and you can see some of the stuff he wrote. I don't want to spend the whole program on this because there's a lot of things that happened today. Also, a video has come out called A Mighty Heart. I recommend that. His wife gave birth to their son, I think, 2 days after his death. So that's now on DVD, and I would recommend, if you're interested in Daniel Pearl, a journalist, a real journalist who had ethics and morals, and he's not like some of these highly paid hacks that we have today, even on TV and on cable. It's interesting that Alternet, which is believed to be funded by George Soros, the controversial Hungarian, who interestingly is Jewish ethnic, although I don't know if he practiced, and he's accused of turning, he's born in Hungary, he survived the Nazi Holocaust with Eichmann over there by turning in his fellow Jews to the Nazis. That's the accusation. So this guy's very controversial, but he's trying to manipulate the world's media. And Alternet is believed to be funded by him. It's on the web, and I tell people, you've got to read the enemy to know what they're doing and what they're thinking, what they plan to do. So, you know, ignorance is not bliss. And the meek don't inherit the earth, they inherit the dirt. and if they can afford 6 feet of it. But anyway, they're down on some of these media people. I think they call them mediacrats. They've coined a phrase, and we'll continue with this because it's very interesting to see the split in the left, or this chasm, as some people think has occurred, because Mr. O has not been able to, or has not kept his promises. And of course, there's a lexicon problem. Change does not necessarily mean reform, and it's a nice word. And what we've seen when we hear these politicians talk about change, they've changed the faces, they've changed the chairs, but they haven't changed the policies, and they haven't changed their ethics. They hadn't either morals or their practices. And we have to be leery of the lingo. So when you hear change, I think what people should be asking now is reform. So we'll leave that at that. today is also in now, there'll be the State of the Union, which will be broadcast now today. In 1949, Harry Truman's inaugural was the first inaugural to be broadcast by TV. It was also on this date in 1950 that Alger Hiss, the notorious communist sympathizer or operative, at least that's what he was accused of, and was part of that gang in the State Department at Los Alamos, who were selling the atomic bomb secrets to the Russian. Harold Greenglass, the brother of Ethel Rosenberg. There's a lot of controversy about that, but he was found guilty by a federal grand jury. He worked in the State Department. He was in the State Department with Harry Dexter White, and a lot of those communist sympathizers, or left-wing sympathizers, depending on how you want to look at it. But anyway, he was convicted of perjury. He went to federal prison. When he was paroled, he wasn't pardoned, as far as I can remember. I'm pretty sure that he worked as a print salesman. He has a son who has been trying to rehabilitate his reputation, but I don't think that's possible, and it certainly hasn't happened right now. Today is also the birthdays. A lot of interesting birthdays today, as well as deaths. Birthday of Paul Scofield. Those of you who remember Man for All Seasons, the famous 60s film, which was about Sir Thomas More, who was a saint in the Catholic Church, who was Chancellor of England in Henry VIII's reign, and he was a stern Roman Catholic when Henry VIII was his reign. Interestingly, when an English monarch, whether it's the Queen Elizabeth or Prince Charles or her grandson William, will be crowned, or whoever is crowned King or Queen of England, there's a sentence in the coronation oath, which is the new monarch, becomes defender of the faith. Now, that goes back to Henry VIII, who was a brilliant man. He wrote music, he spoke Latin, he wrote in Latin, I think he wrote some other languages, and as a reward, when he was still a Roman Catholic, he was given the title Defender of the Faith. So that's the origin of that, the etymology of that phrase. But it doesn't. But it has come to mean Defender of the Anglican Faith. Sooner or later, they're going to come back to the Catholic, Roman Catholic, to Rome, as we used to say. Excuse me. And, of course, those of you who have been following the split in the American Episcopal or the Anglican Church over this whole business of ordination of gay women, lesbian women, and gay priests and bishops, the Robinson controversy, already there people are standing on the sidelines and rooting for injuries and wondering who's going to get the assets, because the Anglican Church the Episcopal Church is very wealthy, have a lot of property. And it's sometimes very hard to tell them from the Catholics, Roman Catholics, that is. But anyway, that's where that term comes from. But Thomas More, he refused to, when Henry VIII, Catherine of Aragon, his first wife, he got a dispensation to marry her because he was the second son of Henry the VII, and his older brother was betrothed to Catherine of Aragon. He died, and he couldn't, according to the church rules at the time, couldn't marry his brother's would-be bride. So they got a dispensation from the Catholic Church to marry Catherine. Catherine could not have a male heir, and that's what Henry was after, to continue the line of the Tudors. In fact, there's a TV series, The Tudors. Those of you who are interested in English history should follow that. Anyway, he got involved with Anne Boleyn, a French girl, a young woman, and he wanted to divorce Catherine because she couldn't produce a male heir. She only produced a daughter, Mary, Bloody Mary, and we won't get into that, that woman. But anyway, Henry VIII was an overbearing type. He was a big man, and he tried to get everybody to quit the Roman Catholic Church and acknowledge him as the head of the English Church, and Sir Thomas More wouldn't do it. He kept quiet about the marriage. He was finally, he resigned his chancellorship, and I see the movie, it's great. And eventually he was put on trial, and he came out, and he was a good lawyer, too. He was an honest lawyer, as far as history tells us. And he was sent to the Tower of London, and eventually he was beheaded. But there was a lawyer who had ethics and morals. We're seeing less and less of that today. And all you got to look at is John Edwards today finally coming out and confessing that that he really was an alley cat, and he was screwing around while his wife is with terminal cancer. I mean, you know, this is really bad. But anyway, and we're seeing most of these people, and a lot of the people in Congress are lawyers, and that's one of the problems. Harry Reid, you've got that clown from New York, senior senator. You've got Durbin from Illinois. You've got Burris from Illinois. He's been very quiet. The two senators in California are not lawyers, but they're just as bad. And Pelosi isn't. She's a real estate investor. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway, and most of the lawyers, I think Massachusetts supplies most of the lawyers in Congress from their, you know, their congressional delegation. And Scott Brown is also a lawyer, and he's supposed to be ethical. We hope that he is, and he's going to disappoint a lot of people if he betrays their trust. And of course, the black governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, is a lawyer. A very controversial man from Chicago, and we'll leave it there. But it's very hard to find lawyers today. It's increasingly hard to find lawyers who are ethical. A lot of them are competent, but that has nothing to do with ethics or morality. And the Bar Association, a growing number of lawyers have told me that they're tired of paying this $400 to $500 a year membership fee for an organization that does not represent their interests and doesn't stand up and purge the legal field of corrupt lawyers. And we'll get into that another day. Today also is the death of Lenin. That was his communist name. He was a lawyer, by the way. And those of you who know the history of the Russian Revolution are familiar with it, that he was there was an assassination attempt by a woman, and Lenin lingered on for a while and finally died of a stroke. And it was this famous Churchill remark that he said, the Germans in World War I were fighting on the Eastern Front, a two-front war, General Ludendorff was the commander, General Hindenburg, and they wanted to knock Russia out of the war. They had put in 5 million men, but they were badly trained, and there was referred to as the Russian juggernaut. So the plan was to knock Russia out of the war, and the way they did it was sending Lenin, who opposed the war, into Russia, into St. Petersburg, which was Lenin, but later became Leningrad, but it's back to St. Petersburg, from Finland. And he created all this dissension, and there was already, he united the people who were opposed to the war, and there was a lot of problems with the Romanovs. They were a dying dynasty, and knocked Russia out of the war. And Churchill said it was sending Lenin into Russia. It's one of the little-known Churchill phrases was like sending a vial of typhoid or cholera and putting it in a city's water system, and you get that effect. This is a little-known aspect of American and Russian and British history is we fought the Russians once, and that was after World War One to try to knock. Lenin destroyed the burgeoning of the Lenin's government, and they were fighting the whites, which were the supporters of the Tsar. We sent in the U.S. Marines, a detachment of Marines. The British sent a force, and I think the Japanese were involved. They sent a force to Archangel in Siberia to try to knock, to destroy the communist government. And it failed. And the Russians never forgave us, or the communists never forgave us for that. But Churchill, in one of his most famous statements, and he was right, said that we should have strangled Bolshevism in its cradle. And that's what that, he later said that after the failed Archangel military exhibition. Today also, we had some interesting deaths. George Orwell, 1980, who's the... was born in Burma. That was his pen name. And 1984, a lot of the things that he predicted when he wrote that book, long before 1984, seemed to be coming true, and God forbid that any more of them should come true, and we've got to get rid of the ones, eliminate the ones that are still out there, and there are people who are still pushing a totalitarian system. Also, the great movie director, producer Cecil B. DeMille, his middle name was Blunt, he died today, and a great, some great actors. Joseph Schildekut, he was in, played everything from Nazi to Jewish roles, and he was also in one of my favorite films, I Accuse, a story of Emile Zola and the infamous Captain Alfred Dreyfus case, which was one of the biggest military abortions of justice in world history. And you can go to Google that, and we'll be bringing out some stuff on our websites, amicusveritas.org, and on YouTube, Amicus Veritas, because there is a San Francisco connection to that case, which is over 100 years old. It's also Red Grange, one of the great, it was part of the Galloping Ghosts, I think they were called, the football team, one of the greatest quartets of football, quartets or trio of football players, if we can use that analogy, in sports history. He died today. And the guy who invented Elvis Presley, Colonel Tom Parker, is one of these Southern colonels, like the colonel for Kentucky Fried Chicken. He really wasn't in the Army. He really wasn't a colonel, and he certainly wasn't even a soldier. But he died today on this date. And let's see who else died today. John Dolan, if those of you like old English music, great composer. And then, of course, Louis the 16th was executed today. And then today also, J. Carroll Nash, those of you who remember, I think he was in Batman, but he was one of the first Charlie Chans. There were three of them. And the issue about Caucasians playing Asians have come up, or having Asians in these stereotypical roles. This is still an issue in the entertainment field. But J. Crow Nash was actually of Irish ancestry, like my friend who was with the Reds Jabba House in San Francisco. Go to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas. He also joined the Navy at 16. He traveled around the world in the service, and in doing so, he picked up a lot of languages. He played Frenchman, Chinese, Japanese, and then he was also Sitting Bull in one of the films. Great actor, and came from Irish ancestry. Since we're on this Charlie Chan bit, Sidney Toler was another one. He was, I think he was German. He also played Charlie Chan, and there was a lot of controversy even at that time. I think he played more roles than others. But the other guy was Werner Orland, and he was a Swede, and he had these Asian features, so they used him for a couple years at Warner Brothers, and he died in the 30s, but he also played Charlie Chan. Those of you who chew bubblegum or chew Wrigley Spearmint, William Wrigley, the owner, a one-time owner of Wrigley Field and the Cubs in Chicago, he was born today in the 30s, and I remember growing up, we used to sell Wrigley's Spearmint was 5 cents a pack, and I later learned from the dentist that the Wrigley would not let his children chew his gum, so that's when I stopped. And then there was Dentine, those of you who remember that, but these are people that we don't hear too much about. And then in the music field, some interesting people. Placido Domingo, one of the greatest opera singers to live, and he's still living, and he's now producing opera, although he sings occasionally. But probably the summit of his career was when, back in the 80s, I think, we had a situation where the tenor in the Verdi opera Othello here in San Francisco, the opening night, I think it was also, couldn't sing. And they had a major problem. It's a big social affair. So what they did was they called Placido in New York, and he hopped a private jet and sped, flew 3.5 hours to San Francisco. In the meantime, they were pouring champagne and crudities and other things at the opera dining facilities to keep the wealthy people happy until Placido arrived. He had a police escort to the San Francisco Opera from the airport, and he sang the role. It was quite a feat. I don't think there's been anything in history like it. And it went off well, as they say. So his birthday is today. And then in the guy who wrote Here Comes the Sun, a great song in the 60s, he was born today. Christian Dior, the fashion house Dior, a lot of people still don't know this, that the majority of these men who create fashion for women are gay or bisexual. I'll leave it at that. And then, let's see, what else happened today? Oh, back to San Francisco. We don't have snow here, but we did usually. But in 1962, we had our first snowfall, and we did have one in the 70s on Mount Diablo, but it's unusual, and thank God because of all the hills, but we get a hell of a lot of rain. And then in 1977, those of us who are concerned about the military, Jimmy Carter pardoned almost all of the Vietnam War draftee evaders. We still have that problem. They're not talking about it, but the military personnel, both gay and straight, there's some a lesbian controversy, who have fled to Canada, who have deserted the armed forces deserted from Afghanistan, or while they were on a leave here in the States. And so the Canadians, we don't hear what's going on up there, and the Canadian government, Harper's government, has not made many public statements on the status of whether these military deserters can stay in Canada and get landed immigration or refugee status. So that's going to come up eventually. And then for those... this isn't funny, it's a cutting comment, but Lorraine Bobbitt, who gave her name to male castration, she was found temporarily insane. There's a famous story of a Burmese man, I think it was, who was unfaithful to his wife, so while he was sleeping, she took care of him and then took the parts and threw them into the river. But Bobbitt, in one of the first operations in history that we know about, the guy who was the victim of her chopping, they managed to sew the part back onto his body. We'll leave it at that. Let's see, what else? And then we're going to do more on the, it's a bigger subject than I thought initially, the abuse of federal military personnel, not only by agencies like incompetent and maybe even corrupt agents of like the Navy Investigative Service, which has changed their name to NCIS. And, of course, you see that program on TV with Mark Harmon, who, incidentally, his father was a famous football player, I think, at Notre Dame, who plays in this NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Service. But, of course, Steve Neri was literally ripped off of his rights by a corrupt agent named Susan Casimir, who was on the USS Carl Vinson, which is currently, since it was sent to Bremerton after leaving San Francisco and Alameda. It's now supposed to be helping the Haitians who are suffering from all these earthquakes and aftershocks. But anyway, what's been going on, there's another infamous case that was reported once in the Boston Globe. Petty officer, young kid, 19 years old, who was raped by another Navy person, and he claims that his victim is being blamed as being in the closet and all of that, and he was discharged. There was a lot of controversy about his discharge from the Navy. His father was a Navy veteran. he tried to get his congressman and Senator Lugar and to investigate the case, but so far he hasn't, as far as we know, hasn't. He's been denied his military veterans benefits, and we have a similar case with Steve Neri, which has been going on for 14 years. Hopefully, this thing will be resolved in his favor soon. But male rape is still something that the media dare not speak its name, or they try to avoid it as much as possible. And one of the reasons this goes on is because there's a growing number of these homosexual, lesbian, NAMBLA activists, not only working at the computers in the newsroom, but also in the editorial suites and the publishers. Some of the publishers are gay. In fact, the owner of the one of the major California chains died mysteriously of AIDS, and it turns out that he was involved with a young Latino boy, and the boy wanted the deceased to be tested for AIDS, and turned out that was suppressed in much of the media in California and across the country. Now, something has come up. It happened 20 years ago, and it's come up with the retirement of one of the most corrupt district attorneys in California, a guy named Ed Jagels down in Kern County, which had the reputation of sending more people to prison than any other of the 50 counties in California. And a lot of people were railroaded, and they have sued. And so far, the county of Kern has paid these victims who were railroaded, kangaroo courted, about $5 million. But about 20 years ago, there was a big scandal down in Bakersfield, and it was written up in Rolling Stone, whose publisher is gay, which is interesting, which involved the deputy to Jagels, a guy named Stephen Tauzer, T-A-U-Z-E-R, who apparently was involved with young boys and interfering in cases where homosexual prostitution was going on, underage boys were involved, murders and all kinds of drugs and violence and mysterious deaths. And Jagels covered up for this guy, apparently. And the article called The Lords of Bakersfield, and you can see them on the web because it's an example of what's going on with a growing number of these corrupt district attorneys and their prosecutors, their assistant prosecutors, who were incidentally are not government employees. They are at will. That means they are hired and fired at the whim or the wishes of the district attorney. So that was settled by the Ninth Circuit here in San Francisco. It was a famous case involving Terrence Hallinan. And we'll get into that because it ties into the Steve Neri case, the U.S. Navy sailor. But this guy Jagers has done a lot of damage to a lot of people. And now, interestingly, it came out in the San Francisco Chronicle about his retirement. So it ain't over. But anyway, what you've got, wherever you're at around the country, you need to look closely at the administration of justice, because these judges, they're getting overloaded, and they rely on the honesty, the ethics, and the competence of their clerks and staff attorneys. And we've seen more and more of them who have their own agenda and are out in the streets agitating for things like gay marriage, which happened here in San Francisco. So, and I don't think there's a code of ethics, unlike the federal courts. There is a code of ethics for staff attorneys and clerks who work in the federal judicial system, but I don't see it in the California system, and it may not be in other systems around the country. But you've got to start looking, especially with the cost of government, and all these states are going bankrupt, cities and states and counties. A lot of these people who are being railroaded are costing millions of dollars, and it's going to go into the billions, it's in according to my estimation and research and other people's. Anyway, next week, salute to Australia, and then we're going to have a famous artist later at the end of the month. Hope you tune in then. And remember, this can be downloaded, and we leave them up there so you can listen at your leisure and laugh, cry, whatever. And also go to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, video, and there'll be more. We're going to do an expose on the people who go around texting and using the phones, and we're going to put their license plates up on the web. We've got a lot of exposés in that department. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Paul Brizola working with the New Shadow. Thank you, and have a good weekend and a dry one.